From the top of the rise, Avery had a panoramic view of the complex. Critchley and his spotter were an easy shot, but he'd waited for Byrne to crash the fence and draw the recruits' attention before he fired twice, hitting both recruits in the sides of their heads. Circuits in their helmets registered the lethal headshots and instantly froze their uniforms. In the general clamor of automatic weapons fire, Avery was confident none of the other recruits had heard his shots ring out. He also bet none of the militiamen would bother to check their motion trackers now that the device's signals had been thoroughly confused by the cloud of fungicide. The chemicals had coated Avery in fine white powder as they settled into the wheat, and he looked almost comical as he rose from the field, as if some unseen prankster had loosed a giant bag of flour overhead. But there was nothing humorous about Avery's intent. He planned to drop every recruit guarding the western fence before they stopped thinking about Byrne and remembered to watch the perimeter. As Avery ran down the rise, battle rifle up and plump colonels batting at his elbows, it struck him that this was the first time since Trebuchet that he'd fired on a human being. This was different, of course. It was an exercise with practice ammunition. But Avery couldn't help noticing how easy, how automatic it was for him to put someone in his crosshairs and pull the trigger. This was just good training, Avery knew, and while he wasn't always happy with the way he'd put his skills to use, he was determined to pass them on. Instill in his men the same confidence and lack of hesitation. In the fight to come, they would need both to stay alive. Avery heard a grenade go off. The noise was much more muffled than the claymores he and Byrne had affixed to the sedan's doors before letting Mac bring the vehicle to the complex gate. The AI had been more than happy to help them with their exercise, had actually been the one to suggest using the Jotun Combine as an additional distraction. Avery wasn't quite sure why, except that, like the Marines and Lieutenant Commander Alcigny, Mac must have known Harvest's reactor would be a juicy target for any hostile force, and was eager to let the militia practice its defense. Avery didn't fire through the fence. He knew the chain link would shred his battle rifle's TTR before they hit their targets. But the same would be true for the recruit shots as well, so it was with reasonable confidence of not getting shot that Avery sprinted over the hard clay border between the wheat and the fence and leapt onto the chain link. Almost immediately, one of the 1C recruits, Wick, heard the rattling metal and turned. His already frightened eyes widened to saucer size as he saw what must have looked like Avery's ghost jump down inside the compound, billowing white fungicide. Before Wick could recover, Avery unslung his battle rifle and pumped two rounds into the center of his chest. The recruit's scream carried above the din, causing three of his squad mates to turn. Avery dropped each one, left to right, before switching his rifle to burst fire and strafing the confused remains of 1C. As the last recruit fell, the illuminated ammunition counter below the battle rifle's scope displayed three rounds remaining. But just as Avery pulled a fresh magazine from his assault vest, he started taking fire from the east. Squad 2C had swung around the back of the reactor tower. If the recruits had run a little faster or remembered to settle into more stable stances before opening fire, they would have caught Avery in a very bad spot. But their opening shots were wild, and all they did was give Avery time to roll left, putting the curve of the tower in between him and unexpected fire. By the time the first of the 2C recruits came charging around the bend, Avery had reloaded. He dropped two and forced the rest of the squad to pull back and bunker down, waste valuable seconds debating when and how they should attempt to flank Avery's position.
"Charlie One is gone," Avery growled into his throat mic. "I'm getting heat from Bravo Two."
"I just blew your alpha boys to hell," Byrne replied. He paused to snap off a few rounds. "But I'm still taking fire from up top."
"Must be my marksman."
"How's that?"
"Yours are dead."
"Well, quiet 'em down, will you?"
"On it."
Keeping his battle rifle pointing north in case 2C got organized quicker than he thought, Avery walked backward to a service ladder that would take him to the first-story roof. He slung his weapon for the climb and worked the rungs as quickly as he could. As his head cleared the roofline, Avery saw movement to his right. He jerked his head down just in time to avoid a burst from Forsell's MA5. Without hesitating, Avery unholstered his M6 sidearm and sprang up one-handed just as Forsell pulled his finger off the trigger. As Avery rose, so did his shots. One TTR blossomed in the middle of Forsell's gut, two more traveled up his sternum. As Forsell staggered back, Avery stepped onto the roof. Supporting his M6 with both hands, Avery kept the heavy pistol's iron sights trained on Forsell's helmet as he crumpled. The recruit was big, and Avery wanted to make sure the pistol's smaller caliber rounds were sufficient to knock him out.
Satisfied that Forsell was down for the count, Avery moved toward the ladder that would take him to the top of the second story. But he'd only taken a few steps when he felt three sharp pains in the back of his right thigh. Fueled by adrenaline, Avery spun around his rapidly deadening leg and returned fire on a target he only recognized as Jenkins after his rounds were on their way. As Jenkins jerked back around the curve of the second-story wall, Avery guessed correctly that the recruits had jumped down on opposite sides of the tower and waited for him to ascend. Not a bad plan. Avery grimaced as he hobbled against the wall. Rather than stay locked in a failing defensive position, the marksmen had staged their own ambush. Whether or not they succeeded, Avery admired their initiative. He jerked his M6 up and down, disengaging its half-spent magazine. Then he reloaded and thrust the pistol straight out from his body along the wall. But just as Jenkins stepped into view and Avery's finger tensed on the trigger, Captain Ponder's voice boomed over the comm. "Cease fire! Cease fire!" For a moment, the staff sergeant and his recruit remained frozen, each holding the other dead to rights.
"I got him?"
Osmo sounded shocked. Then, warming to his unexpected success,
"I got him!"
"Staff Sergeant Byrne, you have been hit," Ponder confirmed. "Final score, 34-1. Congratulations, recruits."
A chorus of weary cheers flooded the comm. "Spatter off the tire," Byrne growled over the staff sergeant's private channel. "Bloody TTR." Then, over the open comm,
"Healy, bring me that damn baton."
Avery lowered his pistol and relaxed against the wall. Epsilon Indy was dropping toward the gentle curve of the horizon. The tower's lackluster tan polycrete took on a warm, yellow glow, even as it shed its accumulated heat. Jenkins grinned.
"Almost had us, Staff Sergeant."
"Almost,"
Avery smiled, and not just to be polite. Other than basic maneuvers around the garrison, this had been the recruits' first live-fire exercise. They'd had no idea what the staff sergeants were going to throw at them, and Jenkins and Forsell's performance gave Avery hope that, with enough time, his recruits just might make decent soldiers.
"Staff Sergeant?"
Ponder's voice crackled in Avery's earpiece. His congratulatory tone was gone.
"Just got word from our local DCS representative."
Avery read between the lines, Lieutenant Commander Alcigny. His spine stiffened to match his leg.
"The delegates we were expecting?"
Ponder continued.
"They're here. And they brought a much bigger ship."